Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packer fans? Happy Thursday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You guys are the absolute best. Thanks for joining me for these prospect breakdowns. Absolutely enjoying every second of doing these. Hopefully you guys are enjoying them as well. I've seen a lot of great feedback, so appreciate that. Before we get into today's prospect, which is Graham Barton, which is going to be a very fun prospect to break down, see if he could fit with Green Bay, see if he'll be there at pick 25. There's a lot to discuss. Where is he going to play in the NFL? We'll get through all of that today. But before we get there, a couple announcements really quick. I've been talking about that amazing Timber Rattlers event that's coming up next Friday, April 19th. $10 gets you a ticket to the game. And of course, a Q&A with myself. It is right before the draft. We'll be doing a lot of draft question and answer, but I'll talk about anything Packers that you guys want to talk about. So $10 ticket to the game and the Q&A event should be a ton of fun. I'm really looking forward to that. So make sure to check that out. Link will be in the show notes, wherever you're getting your show today, YouTube, audio podcast, Cheesehead TV, Packer Report, wherever, the link will be in the notes. As well as wanted to go over the live draft show, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thursday night will be myself only. Maybe we'll see if I do a special guest here or there, but likely it's going to be just me on Thursday. And then breaking down everything that happens in the first day of the draft, Packers pick, everything like that. So that should be a ton of fun. Friday, co-hosting with Maggie Loney, which I am so pumped up about. And then we'll have some special guests on Friday as well. Then Saturday, I'll be doing something for Packaday Podcast members. So make sure to check out those Packaday Podcast memberships. But really looking forward to those live streams. So make sure that you get ready for those and check those out as well. All right, let's go over news from Wednesday before we get to our prospect breakdown today. The biggest piece of news, of course, is that the Packers will in fact open up the season in Brazil against the Philadelphia Eagles that first Friday of September. Thursday night football will be the opener. The Friday night game will be the second game of the season. And as I sort of talked about yesterday, I think there's advantages and disadvantages. The disadvantage is that you're going to add a little bit more miles to your travel time throughout the course of the season, which can add up and can cause some additional wear and tear. I think it takes you one extra week to sort of get into the rhythm of things. Although I will add this, that week one is always a bizarro week anyway, meaning you don't see the real versions of these teams in week one. These are basically still, because teams don't play a lot of their guys preseason or sometimes any of their main guys preseason anymore. This is sort of your let's get reacclimated game. So the fact that that's the one that you're going, it's the best week of any week to have an international game, in my opinion, is that first week. So I think the risks here, the downside here is pretty minimal. And of course, the big upside for the Packers is instead of traveling to Philadelphia, which is a tough place to play on the road, you get to go to Brazil and have a pseudo home game. At worst, it's neutral field. At best, it should be very Packers-centric, and I think it will be basically a home game for Green Bay. So that's a pretty big advantage. Of course, you get to cultivate that fan base in Brazil, which is already very Packers-centric and is the number one fan base there already. So that is a really cool thing. I'm really excited for those that are in Brazil that are pumped about this. I know there's, a huge Packers fan base there. So that's super exciting. I think overall, this is a win. They'll work out the logistics. I'm not concerned about that. I know some people are just upset of like the international, like it's good for the game. It's good for the Packers. It's good for the fans. I don't have any real issue with it. I'm excited. And like I said, not only do they take a away game and make it a basically like a home game, or at least a crowd that's going to be pro Green Bay, they also probably are going to get extended rest for that second week, meaning they're probably going to play that Sunday or Monday the following week, and they will likely play somebody that played on Sunday or Monday the week before. So they should get a rest advantage going into week two, and then hopefully they can sort of get in a rhythm there. In all likelihood, after going international week one, It is very assumed that they will probably have a home game in week two. So you should have a home game with extra rest, and hopefully that gives Green Bay some advantage there as well. I think the advantages outweigh the disadvantages. And like I said, super excited for those in Brazil that will be able to go to the game and experience a Packers game in person. Meanwhile, the Packers signed a new corner, Gamon Green, not to be confused with Amon Green. He is a 6'1", 183-pound corner out of the University of Michigan, undrafted free agent in 2023. Did play 247 special team snaps in college, had a 6.75 relative athletic score, highlighted by an awful, awful 4.51 short shuttle, which is brutal for a corner, especially a corner that weighs 183 pounds. He had a fantastic 1.5 second 10-yard split. So quick burst in quickness overall, but the agility lacking a little bit, had really good vertical and broad jump testing. But, you know, some strengths and weaknesses, which explains why he was an undrafted free agent. He'll get a look in OTAs and minicamp. And of course, the Packers needed some depth at that corner position. They get some. We'll see what happens in the draft. And then, like I said, he'll probably get that look in OTAs and minicamps. And then they'll decide if they want to keep him for training camp. But for now, a addition to that cornerback room for the Packers. Meanwhile, the last thing here, Kenny Clark, who is doing the Packers fan tour. He was asked about Jeff Hafley and Jeff Hafley's defense and if he had the opportunity to speak to Jeff Hafley and so on and so forth. And this was his quotes. He said, Jeff Hafley is, quote, fiery, love his energy. He's going to bring it. He's going to challenge everyone, challenge everybody to be great. That's what you want as a coach. You want them to hold guys accountable. I think this scheme, it'll be good for us up front. It's going to allow us to be way more disruptive. So Kenny Clark is hopeful that this is going to be a far more disruptive scheme. Of course, he's going to say a lot of that stuff no matter what, that he's excited about the scheme. He thinks it can be more disruptive, that the coach is going to put them in best positions to succeed. So mostly this is kind of a nothing burger, but still fun to hear Kenny excited about the defense. And I think it is a little bit telling that we've heard everything from Jeff Hafley, that this is going to be a more aggressive, more disruptive defense. And Kenny Clark echoed those sentiments as well. So still very, very excited about the Jeff Hafley era and excited to see what these players who have lived through the Joe Barry era can do in this new Jeff Hafley defense. So I think there's a lot to be excited about there. Let's jump into our main topic for today, and that is the one, the only Graham Barton. Let's start, as we have for these other prospects so far, of just discussing whether or not he is in fact a Packers fit along the offensive line. Well, first of all, high-end athlete, relative athletic score of 9.99, a 99.9 percentile athlete at his position. However, per usual, and what we're seeing far more often is these players do not have complete relative athletic scores. He did not do the bench press. He did not do the broad jump. He did not do the vertical. What he did test at, he tested as a supreme athlete along the offensive line. No surprise there based on what we see on tape, and we'll talk about that. He does technically come from a power conference playing in the ACC, not exactly a power school in Duke, but still fits the criteria of playing in a Power 5 conference. 21 years old, so he's on the younger side, which we know Green Bay loves. He turns 22 in June. And then the big question, does he play a premium position? We'll go over that in detail today, but that's a very interesting question to answer. As far as what Green Bay likes for their offensive linemen, they really love a 4.75 or better short shuttle. He checks that box easily. They really love a 7.75 three cone or better. He checks that box easily. They also love interior offensive linemen who have tackle experience. He checks that box a ton because he played a ton at tackle. So the only question here, when we talk about would they take a player in the first round or not, it has been a hot second and a half since they have taken an interior offensive lineman in the first round. That is not something they generally do. Doesn't mean that they won't, doesn't mean that they can't, they just haven't. This is not something that the Ron Wolf, Ted Thompson, Brian Gutekunst regime has targeted early in the draft, and they do not consider that, based on experience, a premium position. If they view him as a tackle that can actually legitimately play tackle, that changes that. Now, they still haven't taken a tackle in a while, but it would definitely lean itself more to them taking him if they felt he could legitimately hold up as an offensive tackle in the league. But outside of that, if you take that aspect away, he hits everything else that Green Bay looks for as a first-round pick and as a offensive lineman with all the traits that they generally look for. So he definitely, regardless of offensive tackle, offensive guard, or center, he fits the Packers' criteria. It's just, do they value that interior offensive line enough to spend a first-round pick on it? They haven't, but it doesn't mean that they couldn't, wouldn't, or shouldn't in this case. As far as fit with the Packers, we know that Green Bay is very much lacking in depth along the offensive line. It would definitely address that in a major way, especially somebody with the versatility of Graham Barton. The scheme fit is fantastic. He fits within the zone blocking scheme. He's a really good pass blocker. This is exactly the type of offensive lineman that Green Bay has coveted over the years. The versatility, same thing. We know they love their versatile linemen so that they can get best five on the field. This would add to that versatility. This, I think, also would allow you to immediately find out who is the weakest link on the Packers offensive line. And what I mean by that is we know Elgton Jenkins, we know Zach Tom. We know those two are going to be starting next year. Now, you have three other players that you want competition for: Rashid Walker at left tackle, Josh Myers at center, and Sean Ryan at right guard. And this really becomes now a who's the weakest link. If it's Rashid Walker, you could try Graham Barton at left tackle and see if that would be an improvement. If it is Josh Myers, you could easily put Graham Barton at center and Josh Myers is on the bench. If it is Sean Ryan, you can easily put Graham Barton at right guard and Sean Ryan is on the bench. You have some other permutations of that as well, dependent upon what you want to do with Jenkins and Tom. But the point being is all of a sudden, Rashid Walker, Josh Myers, and Sean Ryan all have competition along the offensive line by just drafting one player. And whoever is the weakest link, whether it is Sean Ryan, Josh Myers, Rashid Walker, or Graham Barton, who's ever the worst, ends up on the bench as the first guy up off the bench. Everyone else ends up being a starter, and they have that ability to put whoever that is needed in that position because of Barton's versatility. Meanwhile, we know that Green Bay really values not just what they can do right now, but the long-term approach to building out the position that they're being drafted at. And what I mean here is, yes, offensive line is an immediate need, but it's also a long-term need. And specifically here, Josh Myers is a free agent in 2025. A lot of people believe that Barton's best position is going to be center in the NFL. I personally believe it's more guard, specifically left guard, but a lot of people believe it's center. If Green Bay views he's a center, well, they could move him around right now and again, figure out where he plays best in the meantime. But if Josh Myers leaves and Green Bay doesn't want to give him a contract, well, now theoretically, you could go Rashid Walker at left tackle, Elgton Jenkins at left guard, Graham Barton at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, and Zach Tom at right tackle going into 2025. So it addresses not only some immediate needs along the offensive line, but some long-term needs as well. So there is definitely a fit aspect to this with Graham Barton. All right, let's get into the deep dive of the actual background and scouting report for Graham Barton. Football season is over. College basketball season is over. The NBA and NHL regular seasons are almost over. But guess what? We are still in a wonderful sports time of year with the start of a new baseball season already kicked off and NHL and NBA playoffs right around the corner. And what better way to get hyped for playoff hoops in hockey than by signing up for Prize Picks and getting in on the excitement with America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is the place where you can use your knowledge to take $10 and turn it into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball entries today. That's 100 times your money with as few as 4 correct picks. And here's something I haven't even mentioned yet. You can play against some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill or Sugar Shane O'Malley. Just go to Community Plays under the Promos tab to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community. And one of my favorite aspects of Prize Picks too is injury insurance. Your entries will stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For example, let's say you have a basketball player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second half. That player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry still stays alive. This week, I'm going NBA heavy. I'm looking for a Bucks bounce back with Giannis, a fiery Kevin Durant to end the season, and Luka Doncic going scorched earth as they try to secure a better seed. Listen, I'm having a blast with Prize Picks, and you should be too. So download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. 6'5", 313 pounds, played offensive tackle at Duke, but projects as an interior offensive lineman in the NFL. Was a senior coming out of Duke, 21 years old. As I mentioned, he does turn 22 in June. Some of his background here, he was a consensus three-star prospect coming out of high school, ranked by ESPN, Rivals, and 24/7 Sports. Was ranked the number 14 guard in the nation, the number 9 overall prospect coming out of the state of Tennessee. Helped his high school team win a state championship in 2019. Also lettered in lacrosse, so this is a two-sport athlete coming out of high school. Started 5 games at center in 2020 for Duke, then has played left tackle exclusively the last 3 seasons. He was a first-team All-ACC selection in 2022, was a first-team All-ACC selection in 2023, and was a second-team All-American this past year in 2023. He did miss the final 4 games of 2023 with various injuries, and his quarterback, meanwhile, called him the hardest-working player on the team, which, of course, is always something that is going to endear itself to scouts, general managers, coaches, etc. You want the guys that are going to come in and want to work really hard if you're going to be investing a top 50 pick on them, or just any draft pick on them, if we're being real. All right, statistically, these are the PFF stats, since offensive line stats aren't exactly juicy and fun. So we're going to go through some PFF stuff here. 2023, he had 258 pass block snaps in total. He allowed 11 total pressures, which included 9 hurries and 2 sacks. Had a 97.2% pass block efficiency rating, and had 6 penalties called against him. In his career, he had 2,569 total snaps. 1,375 of those were in pass pro. He allowed 50 total pressures in those snaps, 10 career sacks, a 97.7% efficiency, and had 21 career penalties. In total, he played 2,134 snaps at left tackle, 430 snaps at center, no snaps at left or right guard, no snaps at right tackle. From an athleticism standpoint, as we mentioned, 9.99 relative athletic score with no broad jump, vertical, or bench press. Tested 91st percentile in height, 66th percentile in weight, 98th percentile 40-yard dash, 99th percentile 10-yard split, 92nd percentile in the short shuttle, and 98th percentile in the 3-cone. Legit, legit athleticism. From a PFF grading standpoint, in 2020, he had 430 snaps with a 61.9 grade. In 2021, he had 747 snaps with a 73.1 grade. In 2022, he had 896 snaps with an 88.2 grade, his best graded season by PFF. And in 2023, he had 496 snaps with a 75.9 grade. This past season, they gave him a 71.2 run block grade and a 78.2 pass block grade. So that's how he graded per PFF, his best year, his junior year, but pretty solid all the way around and has always pretty much had good grades, especially at left tackle over the past 3 seasons. His first year, freshman year, 2020, you know, pandemic season, etc. 61.9, not a bad grade, especially for somebody that was coming in and playing for the first time in college. As far as the big boards go, Daniel Jeremiah has him 24th on his big board. PFF has him at 25th. ESPN has him at 27th. And the consensus big board has him at 26th. Convenient, as the Packers are selecting at pick 25. All right, let's go through my scouting report on Graham Barton from watching a ton of tape. Let's go over the strengths first. We talked about the athletic testing, and he's an incredible athlete. That's great, but what did it look like on tape? It looked like he was an incredible athlete. Always love that it shows up in the testing, but always more important that it shows up on tape. He is an easy mover to the second level. And let's just be real, he is an easy mover all over the field. If you want to pull him, if you want to let him get to the second level, use him in the screen game, whatever it might be, he will get there. And he will get to his spot wherever that spot is, whatever that landmark might be, he will get to it very quickly, on time, ready to block. And he's going to get there quicker than the player across from him. And in just general, when he's going up against a defensive line, you know, one of the things that you look for premium players is a little bit of a superpower. And Barton's quickness to get up out of his stance, to get to his spots, and to start that blocking, meaning you want to be the first one in general to initiate that contact more often than not, or at least be in position to get your hands on the player and start winning the rep before the other player can get set. You don't want a situation where you're getting out of your stance and the defender's already attacking you. You want to either be in perfect position or start attacking the player across from you. And Graham Barton has a superpower here where he's quick out of his stance. He's super agile. He's going to get to his spots and he's going to be in a position to win and block better than the player across from him, even as he transitions to the NFL and sees a much steeper level of competition. So that easy movement ability, that unbelievable athleticism, all of that shows up on tape consistently. We talked about the versatility. No matter where he ends up, let's just say he ends up as a left guard, which is my personal evaluation of where he will end up best in the NFL. Say he ends up as a left guard. He still should have, especially as he settles down and gets better with technique through the course of his career. Remember, he's only 21 years old. This should be a player that at worst, in an emergency, you could kick to left tackle. At worst, in an emergency, you could kick to right tackle and should have legitimate left guard, center, right guard versatility no matter what. So that versatility is definitely something that's going to be there, and it should be able to help you if you want to get your best five guys in the field. And in a perfect world, if things progress the way that you're hoping it to for Graham Barton, he legitimately could have five position versatility, meaning he theoretically could be good at all five, which is just such a dream to have a player like that on your line, as we have seen in the past with guys like Zach Tom and Elgton Jenkins. Next, I love his demeanor. As mentioned, his quarterback called him the hardest worker on the team. You can tell he wants to do well. You can tell he's focused on becoming a great offensive lineman. He wants to finish plays. He'll play through the whistle, and he never backs down regardless of who he's going against. He wants that challenge. And you can just tell, like, again, the way that he finishes plays, the way that he goes through the whistle, the way that he does all of it, you can just tell that the demeanor is great. You want a little bit of that demeanor along your offensive line. He has it in spades, and it's something that's going to really serve him well through the course of his career. As talked about, he's only 21 years old. His best football is in front of him. Should have a lot of developmental years left. It's not like this is just who he is. He's going to get better with time, with more technique work, and going into an NFL training room and weight training and everything like that, where he'll add some functional strength and become even better as time goes on. Love his ability to finish blocks. This is a little bit inconsistent, but man, when he is on his game and he's finishing blocks and finishing through contact, he can get some guys on the ground. He can play with a little bit of nasty, and you will see him, especially on like some combo blocks, and or if he's just unblocked and has the ability to go hunting a little bit, you'll see him finish some blocks, and the opposing defenders are going to know exactly where Graham Barton is, and they're going to feel him on some of those plays. When he gets to play like an interior offensive lineman, now remember, he played center as a freshman where he was still just kind of feeling things out, has not played center since that time, has never played guard in college. But when there are plays that it gets to be like it would be if you were playing guard or on the interior, he looks fantastic. And that sometimes happens if he's pulling, that sometimes happen if it's like on a double team, that sometimes happen if he has like a tight end to his left that's pass blocking. Like there are times where it looks almost like he's a guard. And when he looks like a guard, he really, really, really looks the part. And it looks like he could be a long, long, long-term guard playing at a very high level in the NFL. So it's a projection because we've never seen him play guard. But when you see him in guard sort of situations, it looks really freaking good. Technique stuff shows the ability to bend his knees, roll his hips, get his hands where he needs to get his hands, and specifically hit his targets with his hands. It's inconsistent. It needs to get better, but you will absolutely see that on tape. And you can tell with these sort of things that he's working on his craft. These are not things that happen on accident. These are things that show that he very much wants to excel, very much wants to get better, is very much honing his craft. And all of those sort of things, these technique things, as he masters them, that's when he's going to hit his ceiling. He's nowhere near that yet. There's still inconsistencies there, and we'll talk about that. But the fact that you're seeing some of these advanced level skills that are showing up on tape as a 21-year-old at Duke leads you to believe that it's only going to get better as he really masters his craft as a professional in the NFL. He recognizes stunts and blitzes and knows what to do in those situations and scenarios. He has very strong hands. Sometimes they'll grab on a little bit too long. Sometimes they won't hit their landmarks, and it sort of counterfeits his strength, but he does show strong hands when he gets them to where he needs to get them. And the last thing I'll say here as a strength is the good looks really, really good. When everything comes together and he's playing on balanced, square to the player across from him, when he's using all those technique things that I just talked about, There's a lot of Joel Bitonio, in my opinion, to his game, where it just looks like he is going to dominate you all game, every game, consistently. You're not going to get past him. Technician at the position, can run block, can pass block. It looks awesome. The really good looks phenomenal. Now, there are some weaknesses as well that we do need to address. And as much as we see him work on those technical aspects of his game, there are technical flaws to his game that will rear their ugly head. You will see him lunge. You'll see him get ahead of himself and start going ahead. I talked about this a little bit with Tyler Guyton, not on a full breakdown, but just kind of talking about him on a couple different occasions. But you will see Graham Barton lunge ahead, and that leads him to arm over moves, being susceptible to arm over moves. A push-pull he is susceptible to in those situations, or it just leads to him being off balance and defenders being able to take advantage of him that way. In a very similar way, you will see him lower his head, and that is a cardinal sin for an offensive lineman. You don't want to lower your head. You don't want to make it so that you can't see the offensive lineman ahead of you. And what it really means is that you're bending or you're getting ahead of yourself and you're not staying knees bent and on balance with a low center of gravity with the ability to anchor against the player across from you. It's just bad technique. Those things need to get erased from his tape, and that needs to get cleaned up, or NFL players will very much take advantage of those things. As we talked about, when his hand placement is good, it's really good, but there are times where he gets a little bit too wide. There are times where he gets a little bit too much inside. He needs to make sure that his placement is inside, that he's able to grab a hold, and then really use those strong hands to make sure that he is not holding, but getting inside and controlling that defender in front of him. He will play too wide. He will become over-aggressive, and that's what we sort of talk about a little bit with the lunges. He gets over-aggressive. You can tell he wants to attack, but he needs to just stay balanced, stay focused, and not get ahead of himself, because when he is a little bit more zen, a little bit more balanced, a little bit more focused, it's really tough to get by him with all that raw athleticism, with that power, with that speed, that agility. It's tough to beat him. So you just want to make sure that Graham Barton is not beating himself. If he doesn't beat himself, the opposing defender is going to have a really rough day at the office. So if he can just clean up some of these technique things, he's not going to beat himself, and the defender is going to have a much, much, much harder time of beating Graham Barton. And he just needs to be more consistent with his technique overall. This is a phrase I could use with literally every single offensive lineman that's coming out of college. They all need technique work. They all need to get better. They all need to get more consistent, but it's no different from Graham Barton. And the reason I think it is worth noting here is I think a lot of people have this belief that he's just this super consistent player, and you will see consistency on his tape, but there are some inconsistencies too. Just like any other player, there are weaknesses here that he needs to continue to work on. And quite frankly, if I'm just being honest, you go and watch him, maybe just watch a handful of the highlights or things like that. You're thinking like, man, this dude's just going to be awesome. You go dig into the tape more. There are stretches of play that are sort of eerily disappointing. Meaning you see a lot of this stuff flash its head, not being on balance, lunging, lowering his head, bending a little bit, meaning at the waist, not at the knees. Like, there's a lot of really great stuff. And like I said, the great stuff looks really, really, really good. But there are some real true inconsistencies here that do need to get cleaned up. And like I said here, off balance, he's surprisingly off balance at times. There are times you will see him slip. There are times you'll see him on the ground. He's tripped over other offensive linemen from time to time. We talked about the lunging and the over-aggressiveness. All that leads to him being off balance, not on center. And when he is centered, he just has everything that he needs to be super successful. So then this just, again, goes back to make sure that Graham Barton doesn't beat himself. If he doesn't beat himself, the defender is probably not going to beat him far more often than not. Needs to do a much better job of staying square to the pass rusher. This is just mirror work. This is just making sure that everything is squared up and you're just mirroring the defender and making sure that they don't have a pathway to the quarterback. There are times where, whether it's the over-aggressiveness or whether it's a false step, whether it's just poor footwork, where he will start getting outside too much and just sort of get twisted a little bit and the defender can come inside and get to the quarterback. Or he sets inside too much, gets over-aggressive, the defender rolls to the outside, bends around the edge and has an easy pathway to the quarterback. He's got the athleticism to recover, but those are things that he needs to work on to make sure he's staying square and making sure that he's in a position to be successful against NFL edge rushers as he transitions to the NFL. His anchor needs work. this is just strength training and making sure that he's playing low to the ground. This is all stuff that will develop with time, but you will see him not anchor as well and sort of get pushed back into the quarterback. Holding penalties were an issue. His holding percentage is one of the highest amongst draftable offensive linemen and on a per play basis. That's something that, like, it was almost like once every, I think it was like once every 120 snaps, he had a holding penalty. And that's like once there's like 60 snaps in a game. So that's like once every two games, you know, from a pass, and there's not that many pass block standpoints, but obviously you can hold and run blocking too. So there's too many blocking and holding penalties that you will see on Graham Barton, and that needs to get cleaned up. And that it goes back to where his hands are located. And sometimes when he's getting engaged and grabbing on the inside, you just got to make sure if they get to the outside, you're letting go and not maintaining that, because that's going to lead to those holding calls, especially in the NFL. His arms are smaller, his hands are smaller, which is really why he's going to have to kick inside. He just doesn't have the length on the outside, and longer, more powerful rushers will give him problems because of that. When he doesn't win quickly, we talked about that superpower ability to get out of his stance and get to his spot and start and being set redder, or quicker than the defender is. When that does not happen, things can go awry very quickly. That's when he's sort of scrambling and off balance and just not square to the defender, and all of a sudden he's beat. So he needs to make sure that he's getting out of his stance, getting there quick, getting ready in a position to succeed, and also just firming up all the other stuff so that if it's not perfect, if the other player does engage first, he still has the ability to win within that rep. I do think there's question marks as to whether or not he'll legitimately be able to actually play tackle in the NFL. I think from an emergency standpoint, no matter what, you probably can kick him out there, but can he actually be a good NFL tackle? I think that's a real question mark, and I think that's why everyone's projecting him inside. But if he can't do that, that takes away some of that five position versatility. I still think there's enough upside there where he could be used as a tackle if needed. But as we've talked about, he's definitely an interior offensive lineman. And then last but not least, I will say this. The idea of Graham Barton is a little bit better than what Graham Barton actually was in college. Now, that's okay, because we're projecting. Again, we're not just reviewing what he did in college. We're projecting what he's going to do in the NFL. And what you want to see is him check every box. A lot of what we've talked about as issues with Graham Barton are inconsistencies with technique that need work. And, you know, just kind of his like overall where he's going to play. And I think with, you know, a little bit more strength training, I think with a little bit more vision as to where he's ultimately going to end up in the NFL, probably playing inside, and with technique work, those are all things that can be fixed. Inconsistencies and technique work. Those are things that you can continue to work on and should get better over time. If you want to ask everything, has he played tackle? Yes. Has he played on the interior? Yes. Does he show the ability to get everywhere that he needs to on the field? Yes. Does he show he can pass block at a high level? Yes. Does he show he can run block at a high level? Yes. He's shown everything he needs to show. Now it's just putting everything together and mastering his craft on an NFL level. So yeah, those are the weaknesses for Graham Barton. As we sort of re-roll back to scheme and fit and everything like that, this is the exact type of player that Green Bay looks for. A offensive tackle that's kicking inside, has all the raw athletic traits, and has potentially five position versatility. Fits Green Bay's zone blocking scheme incredibly well. I think he immediately comes in and competes at a variety of different positions and puts Rashid Walker, Sean Ryan, and Josh Myers, excuse me, on notice, and they're going to all have to earn their jobs against, you know, Barton. This allows you to put your best five guys on the field, and this really has a, you know, effect on not only your current needs on the depth chart along the offensive line, but those future needs as well, with specifically Josh Myers becoming a free agent next year. My final thoughts, all the traits are there, just needs to become a master of his craft. If he can do that, he's going to become a really good, really strong offensive lineman for the foreseeable future. Seems to be trending pick 25 or above. In fact, I think a lot of people would argue that he seems to be trending in the top 20, maybe even the top 18, 17, 16. So whether or not he'll be there at pick 25 remains to be seen. I don't still think that it's an impossibility. I know there's a lot of buzz surrounding him, but I do think that right around where all of we talked about at the beginning, where Daniel Jeremiah, PFF, ESPN, consensus big board is right around pick 25. Watch pick 24, which is Dallas, who definitely could use somebody of that ilk and that versatility and just some offensive line depth as well. he could make a lot of sense for them. So there is a case to be made too of, even if he does last to pick 24, he might not get picked, you know, past pick 24, you know, with Dallas picking right before them. I do not believe, and I know some people will disagree with this, I do not believe that this is a player worth trading up for. I think there's enough really good offensive linemen in this draft throughout the draft that you can address it in a variety of different ways. And I would rather have them take an offense. Like, so let's say you need to get up to pick 18 to get him. And let's just say you can, you know, use your first third round pick to get up that high. It probably takes a little bit more than that, but let's say in a best case scenario, it's your first third round pick. What I would very much argue is, instead of doing that, instead of taking your first round pick and a third round pick to move up to grab Graham Barton, take an offensive lineman with that first round pick who's ever left, the best available, take another one with your third round pick, and you're probably in a better spot than just having Graham Barton on your team. And in likelihood, there's a good chance that one of those guys ends up better than Barton anyway. So that's probably what I would do. I don't think there is a real reason to move up for him with the offensive line depth in this draft being as good as it is. So yeah, I think that is something that you need to consider as well. I think he does make a ton of sense at pick 25. The future need, the current need, the positional versatility, all of it, I think makes a ton of sense. Protect Jordan Love. Protect Jordan Love. That should be the goal of everything that you're doing right now. He's going to be your $50 million plus a year player. He is going to be your franchise, the face of the team. And when he is going well, your offense is going to go very well. Adding offensive linemen like a Graham Barton to your team is going to help Josh Jacobs. It's going to help Jordan Love. It's going to help everyone. So this pick still makes a ton of sense at pick 25. I don't think he's a tackle in the NFL. I think he's a guard or a center, but I think he's really good. And when we talk about like a premium position player, we talk all the time about how premium a player Elgton Jenkins is, or that Zach Tom is, because they're really good at their positions they play, but they can also help almost everywhere. If you get another guy like that, that to me is a premium player, because they can help everywhere while being very good at whatever position you want to put them at. This is something that I think is very valuable. Whether we want to call it a premium position or not, I don't really care. It has so much value, and that's why I think pick 25 makes sense here. Like I said, though, I don't think he's a tackle. I do think his projection is really good. Really great offensive lineman. Projects as, like I said, on the high end, a Joel Bitonio type player, with five position versatility as an ideal situation. The one question I will also ask here, and my final thoughts, is what if he's just a center? There is a ton of buzz that like a Jackson Powers Johnson is going to go more towards the end of round two, sort of how we saw Creed Humphrey go in that range. If for some reason you view Graham Barton as a center, I would unequivocally, not even close, without question, I would rather have Jackson Powers Johnson with that second round pick, if you could get him there, rather than Graham Barton at pick 25. I think there is more value for Jackson Powers Johnson in round two than Graham Barton in round one, if you only view him as a center. Now, if you view him with that, all that versatility and things like that, great, awesome. That changes the calculus, because I think Jackson Powers Johnson's a center. But if you think he's a center and you're drafting him as a center and you think that Jackson Powers Johnson's going to be there end of round two, I would rather do that than spend that first round pick on Graham Barton. My final verdict: he's trending top 25, quite possibly ahead of Green Bay, so he might not be there. I do think if he is there, he has a legitimate chance to be the Packers pick at 25. I think he's an immediate starter with his best football still ahead of him. I think he really helps Green Bay's depth and versatility along the offensive line. And the only really big question here is, would they consider taking someone that likely projects as an interior offensive lineman in round one? And will he be there at pick 25 in round one? Hope you enjoyed the breakdown. Let me know your thoughts on Graham Barton in the comments below. Looking forward to seeing those. Always appreciate the feedback. Make sure to give those 5-star reviews. Sign up and subscribe if you haven't already. Check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Chebra Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, and Dan Miller. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack-O.